Red Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
This is Fred Film Radio, I'm Eddie Bertotti from the Berlin Film Festival, and it's my pleasure to talk with Sylvia Earle, protagonist of the documentary Mission Blue by Fisher Stevens. My first question is maybe the most difficult one. I would love you to introduce yourself and explain what is your mission to our audience.
Okay, I'll try. I'm Sylvia Earle, an explorer in residence at the National Geographic, and I am founder of Mission Blue. Mission Blue is an organization dedicated to inspiring people to care about the ocean and to personally take action in whatever ways they can to protect the ocean, to make choices that really make a difference for the ocean. Choices about what you eat, choices about plastics, to use them or not. When your ocean has become a great garbage dump for a lot of things, including plastic that has remained there since they first were put in the sea. They have a very long life. We're trying to inspire people all over the world, within their individual nations, but collectively, to look at the high seas, half the world that is beyond national jurisdiction, to protect them, hope spots, areas that have a magnified importance in terms of how the ocean functions. Breeding areas for fish, feeding areas, nursery areas, places of high productivity, places of high diversity, places where if people invest time and effort, can make these places better than they currently are. So, hope spots, places that will really provide hope for a better world through making the ocean a better place.
And I would love to know how did you take part in the project? I mean, why you decided to take part in this project? How were you involved by the director?
As a scientist, for many years, I have been a witness to changes in the sea that are not in our best interest. Never mind the fish, the whales, and other creatures that live there. It's not in our best interest to see the ocean in the state of decline that has been the case since I was a child. So for years, I have been a proponent of putting policies in place for protecting areas in the ocean, much as national parks are for the land. It works, you know, when you stop killing birds in parts of the land, if you have policies about migration routes and so on, you can actually protect these creatures, and you don't have to watch them inexorably slide off into extinction. So we know how to do this for the land, and now we need to do similar things for the ocean. And I've been working on, as chief scientist of NOAA, the agency in the United States, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency. I was the chief scientist there in the early 1990s. I was attracted there because they have jurisdiction over marine sanctuaries for my country. And I think during that time I did help promote the idea of getting greater areas, more of them, in the coastal waters of the United States, and to try to inspire the United States to be a leader in terms of the high seas and protective policies there. As a scientist, I want to do this, but as a human being, I want to do this beyond my role professionally as a scientist. So in 2009, I was given an opportunity to make a wish by the organization known as TED. It's Technology Entertainment Design, TED. They have become a force to be reckoned with over the last 30 years or so, giving people an opportunity to give a talk of their life that they then will share with the rest of the world. And they have been granting a few people a wish, and I was one of those lucky ones, to make a wish big enough to change the world. Now, there's a nice amount of money that goes along with that, $100,000, but the money isn't the important part. It's the power of TED to spread the word, if you will, to encourage people to get behind the wish. And my wish was a big wish, big enough to change the world. That was to inspire, to ignite public support for a campaign to establish networks of protected areas globally. Hope spots, places that if we can embrace sufficiently large areas, sufficiently important areas, provide hope that we can stabilize the collapse of systems that I have been witnessing through my lifetime. So it takes using the power of media, the web, films, expeditions, new technologies, submarines, to get people out to see what I've seen and to engage them. And that's part of the wish. And now, that was 5 years ago.
So in this sense, I mean, cinema and this film in particular is a good medium to convey your message. And
correct.
What are your expectations? What do you think this film can be useful for?
Well, this film came as a consequence of the wish. One person who heard my TED talk, 18 minutes, came up afterwards and wrote a big check that made it possible for us to put together an expedition a year later to the Galapagos Islands that is featured in the film. But another individual who was present at the showing last night decided that he would write another big check to make it possible to make the film. That was Eric Gordon, who has been a participant in this during the 4 years that it has taken to bring it to fruition. So he's traveled with us, and Fisher Stevens, and Bob Nixon, and a team of filmmaker of those who are great at recording sound, great at recording images, and the subsequent time that it took to edit and put it all together has resulted in this message for the ocean, if you will. And I happen to be the voice of this message just because I think I'm a witness during my life. I've seen what others haven't. This film enables others to share the view. And I hope it works. I hope that others will see, as I have, the change and be motivated to want to do something about it. That's the whole purpose of this effort.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it really does. I mean, because you see this film and then you feel it's sort of compelled to do something. So, as a practical suggestion, what can we do in our, like, everyday life to, I mean, improve the situation, the condition of the ocean, to improve our lives?
I hear people say, and they really are concerned, what can I do? I'm just one person, and kids in particular. But I have to say that everyone has power. Everyone. It's a matter of choosing how you use your power or not. So when I was chief scientist at NOAA, letters would come in. Letters from kids got read and read and read, put on the bulletin board, and they were the most powerful letters of all. So kids, you know, use your power. Send in pictures. Tell people you care. Tell your parents. Tell your teachers. They have to listen to you. They're doing what they're doing for your sake in many ways. But hold up the mirror. Do you have a way with numbers? Are you a lawyer? Do you have a way with law? Are you a teacher? You know, incorporate what you care about into your teaching. Do you write? Use that power. Do you make films? Use that power. Are you the leader of a country like Tony Romingasal in Palau, who's declared his entire country to be off limits to commercial fishing? He used his power because he saw something important that he could do on his watch, and he used that power. Now, whatever it takes. But you can join forces with others. You can use the internet in what didn't exist when I was a kid. Let your concerns be known. If you dive, don't just keep the word to yourself. Share what you see. If you, in your choices about what to eat or not, just give fish a break. Give wildlife, whether it's a clam or an oyster or a lobster or a tuna, just say no. They're more important alive in the ocean, doing what they do. Oysters filtering the ocean. Clams doing the same thing. The lobsters are the garbage collectors. They're out there picking up the trash, if you will, and so are the crabs. We need to let them do their job. Of course they taste good, but it's a choice. We don't have to eat them. Now, for those who have few choices, eating fish is part of their sustenance. If we can just take the large-scale pressure off, until the time, the last 50 years, people began eating tuna on a large scale. And we have been so good at catching them and eating them that now less than 10% of the big tunas remain. We are so good at catching them, killing them, eating them. If we want to have them in the future, we have to stop. We have to take the pressure off. And we have to particularly take the pressure off of their breeding areas or their feeding areas. You know, we have to be smart about understanding that we do have choices. And now is the time. Now, I think, is the sweet spot in time, because we know more now than any who have ever lived before. Knowledge accumulates over time, but never have we learned more than during the last 50 years about the nature of the ocean and our power both to protect it or to destroy it. Now we know that's real power. So we have the choice to use it.
Thank you very much. This was Sylvia Earle, protagonist of the documentary Mission Blue by Fisher Stevens, here at the Berlin Film Festival. I am Eddie Bertozzi, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.